Because in the Greek, we have a therefore. And so it's connecting to the previous context. But the in the if, by the Greek grammar, you could understand as a since. And so it's therefore, since you be co-risen with Christ. And so, and it's an aorist passive, this word that's translated risen with. And I'm translating it co-risen because it's a Greek compound word with a preposition that means intimately together with. And so it's saying, since you were co-raised with Christ, looking at a point in time, at a point action, and somebody else did the raising together. Somebody else did the raising. But it says, since you were co-raised with Christ, and then we have seek these things above where the Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And so the risen and glorified one is sitting at the right hand of God. And we are accounted to be co-seated with him in Christ. And it's by spirit baptism that we are co-raised with Christ. And so we've talked about this, that at the moment of initial salvation, the believer is immersed or baptized into Christ. And that's by spirit baptism. And this is in the mind of God. This is in God the Father's reckoning. The moment we believe the gospel for initial salvation and we're immersed into Christ, we are in Christ in God the Father's accounting and his reckoning. And he imputes it to us. We're in Christ. And so this is how we are co-raised with Christ. And so we want to, I'm going to look at just a few foundational things that'll be from verses that we've been to many times to build on the context. But today we want to consider the fact that the believer is sealed in Christ. We're sealed in Christ. This is important, for a number of reasons. One is, this fits in with, the revelation that being in Christ is a work of God. It's a work of God, and we're sealed in Christ. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So let me pray, and we'll begin. We'll start our devotional. Father, we thank you for this day. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the privileges that are ours in Christ. Time we've shared. Together, and we just pray your spirit would continue to guide, direct. May he bless, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so let's just do a quick review on some truths. I just want to put these to mind before we move into this idea of being sealed, that we've been sealed in Christ. And so let's be reminded that we're in Christ by spirit baptism. And so you might be trying to think for yourself, where would you go to show somebody that? Well, there's a number of places we could go, but let me just illustrate that in 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit were we all baptized into one body. And so here we see how we get to become members of the body of Christ. It's by spirit baptism, by the Holy Spirit, we are immersed into one body. So by one spirit, were we all baptized into one body. And it's, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink one spirit. And so the Holy Spirit does indwell us. We will come back to that concept here when we think about we're sealed in Christ, because I believe that the Holy Spirit is the instrument, if you will, by which we're marked and sealed in Christ. Now, we can see in Romans 6:3 that it's by spirit baptism that we are immersed or baptized into his death, into his death. So let me just read Romans 6:3. Know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And so in God the Father's reckoning of us, we are immersed into Christ, and his death is imputed to us. We share in the cross work, in our oneness with Christ. So we're immersed into his death. Now I'm going to just pick, this is important because we're not just immersed into his death, but we're counted to be co-raised with him as well. And so we can see this. Let's go back to Colossians and Colossians 2:12. Colossians 2:12, Paul here says, buried with him, and it's the Greek, it's a compound word, it's just co-buried with him by baptism. And then wherein, I'm going to translate that in whom, talking about in Christ, also you are co-risen with him through the faith of the energizing of God, who has raised him out from dead ones. And so, so it's by spirit baptism that we are also co-raised, with Christ. And so, you know, we saw this word, when we read Colossians 3:1, when it's going to say, since you're co-raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And these things that we're seeking in the Word of God related to our being in Christ and being one with Christ. Now, as I mentioned, you know, it's important, it's kind of foundational that we understand and know from the Word of God that our being in Christ is a work of God. You know, it ties into a lot of things. It does relate to some things. For a practice, for present tense, it also relates to some things dealing with the security of our position in Christ. And so our being in Christ is a work of God. And I can just illustrate that. Let's do this through a few verses, but let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:30. And these should be familiar to you, but I wanted to touch on these and put these to mind. They're somewhat foundational to understanding the significance of being sealed. And so in 1 Corinthians 1:30, now in verse 29, we see that no flesh should boast in his presence. And then the Greek, it's just before the God, talking about the Father. And that goes back to his choosing and his calling. And then it's in verse 30 when it says, but out from him, and the, but of him, it's an ek preposition, it's out from him as the source. And the him connects back to the God, to the Father. So in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it's, but out from him, the Father, are you all in Christ Jesus. That's where we find the ultimate source of our being in Christ Jesus is the Father. And it goes back to his choosing and his calling, by the way. And then here we see, who is made unto us, wisdom from God. And then we've looked at this in the past, righteousness, sanctification, and complete redemption. And so these are related to possessions that we have because we're in Christ. We have these things in Christ. Now we can also illustrate this a couple other places as far as our being in Christ as a work of God. We can see this over in Ephesians 2:10. And so in Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, "For we are his workmanship." And the "his" there is, it's talking about the Father. We are his workmanship. And the word workmanship is a Greek word that has the idea of doing or making with a ma ending. So we're the result of God the Father's doing. So we are his workmanship. And then we see created in Christ Jesus. And so we will be back to this concept, Lord willing, at another point in this series. But, you know, we're part of a new creative action of God, part of a new creation in Christ. Sometimes it's referred to as the Christ, sometimes the new man. But this is something that came into existence. Other than in the mind of God, it came into existence on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and began immersing believers into the body of Christ. And so, anyway, we are the result of his doing. We're out from God, that we're in Christ Jesus, for we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And so just one more verse to kind of tie this idea down, that we are, that our being in Christ is a work of God. And we can see this as if we trace it back, his choice of us in eternity past. And we see this in Ephesians 1:4. And so in Ephesians 1:4, the "he" here is talking about the Father. And it says, "According as he has chosen us in him," talking about in Christ. And so he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Understand here world as universe. But we see here this choice is that we should be holy and without blame or spot or blemish before him in love. In love. And we mentioned this last week when we were commenting on that the believer is loved. And his choice of us in Christ was in love. And so, and we see, as this ties off, or ties into verse 5, so he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the universe in love. And then we see that he did some things to bring about his choice to an intended end. And so you see in verse 5, it says, having predestinated, it's having marked off the boundaries beforehand. And this is the Father, he's marked off the boundaries beforehand of us unto son placement. And the son placement is through Jesus Christ into himself. And so when you look at the Greek, that becomes a little clearer, but and we see this as according to the good pleasure of his will, of the Father's desirous will. And so anyway, we just wanted to put some of these concepts to mind, because today we want to consider the revelation that the believer is sealed in Christ. And so we're here in Ephesians 1. Let's take a look at Ephesians 1:13. And so in whom, by the way, it's talking about in Christ, talking about our position in Christ, in whom you also. Now, the King James offers the ellipsis trusted. I would. And that's based off of verse 12, but that word actually is hope. And so I would provide the ellipsis hoped, in whom you also hoped. Not after, but while you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And then you see in the next clause, it says, in whom? Talking about in Christ. In whom also, you, okay, yes, in whom also, when, it says also after, the King James says after, I would just translate that when that you believed, just in whom having believed, it's actually an aorist active participle, just in whom having believed, you were sealed. And so it's an aorist, it's looking at a point action, you were sealed, somebody else did the sealing, and it says with that Holy Spirit of promise. And so we were introduced to this idea, you were sealed. What does that mean? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so this is what we want to look at today. We don't have a lot of verses. And so this word seal, though, to seal, it's a verb. So phragizo, it has the idea to seal, to put a seal on, to make secure. And so the believer is said here to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The noun of this word is a seal or a signet. And so typically, and that was used physically of it to describe an instrument by which a mark of one's name or authority or ownership is made. And so the believer is said to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. So we want to look at a couple illustrations of this, and then we're going to look at some other verses. So first, for an illustration of this, let's go back to Matthew 27. And we want verse 66. Matthew 27. Now this is dealing with the tomb for the Lord after his death. And so let me just back up to verse 63 and we'll pick up a little bit of context. Saying, sir, we remembered that the deceiver, and so he's speaking of the Lord here, said that while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. And then command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the heir shall be worse than the first. And now in verse 65, we see Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure, the idea is secure, as you can. And so we have this idea of security here. And so here we see how they're going to make it secure. And they went and they made the sepulchre sure, the idea of secure, sealing the stone. And so here's our words, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And so they sealed the stone. Kind of the idea here is they put a seal on it. They probably would have marked it. If it was a wax seal, they could have put a mark on it that would have designated the authority by which the sepulcher was sealed. And those that would have engaged in breaking that seal would have to deal with the authority by which they were crossing the authority or the boundary. And so there's an example, though, of securing something. Let's go to let's look at a couple other illustrations, and then we'll move on to some other verses. But let's go to Revelation chapter 20. And so we know, that the devil is going to be incarcerated for 1,000 years. And so in Revelation in chapter 20, and let me pick up in verse 2, verse 3 is what where we'll see this word used. I'll pick up in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, the abyss, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, even the Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, the abyss. And he shut him up and he set a seal upon it. And some translations would say he sealed it over him. And so this idea of securing it, with a seal. And so he set a seal, or he sealed it over him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, it is necessary for him to be loosed, a little time. It says a little season, a little time. And so you see this, the word being used. It has the idea to make secure, though, to make secure. Let's look at one more illustration. I'm going to need my Old Testament for this one, but we want to go back to Daniel. So in Daniel in chapter 6, and this is a good illustration, but it'd be fun to spend a little more time here, but seeing this is a devotional, we're just going to mention that this is dealing with the lion's den, and we'll pick up in... we want 6:17, but we'll pick up in 6:16. And so Daniel's going to be cast into the lion's den. Remember King Darius's counselors, they had kind of tricked the king into making a decree that they knew Daniel would not be able to uphold. And so he's going to be... cast into the lion's den. And so let's pick up in Daniel 6:16. And then the king commanded and brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it. And so, and with his own signet. And so here's a signet. Now, typically, you know, a signet could have been a ring that could be used to make an impression into wax that would mark the seal, with ownership or authority. And so he sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And so there's just another illustration of something that's sealed, it's made secure. There's an instrument that was used in the sealing process, and that signet was used to make a mark of one's authority or ownership. And so when we come back and we think of what Ephesians 1:13 says, it says, in whom, talking about in Christ, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. And so talking about in whom, in Christ, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, let's just talk real quickly about the Holy Spirit of promise. This is a very... dispensational passage. no other believers prior to the day of Pentecost could have been baptized into Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back into the upper room and look at a couple things that the Lord, was speaking about. He's anticipating the work he is about to do on the cross and the potential that was coming as a result of his cross work. And so if we go back to John, and we'll pick up in 14:16. And the Lord sit here, he's speaking to the 11. Judas has already left. And so he's given the new commandment to the church, you know, to love one another as I loved you. In verse 15, or chapter 15, he's going to tell them that there's going to have to be abiding in order for there to be fruit production. But here he's, and we know that the Holy Spirit is going to be involved as well as in that fruit production. And so in John 14:16, the Lord says, and I will pray, that's to ask, I will request as an equal, the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide or be with you into the age. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, talking about the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, doesn't experientially know him, the Holy Spirit. But you, he says, you all, you 11, you experientially know him, the Holy Spirit. And he says, for he dwells alongside you, the with you is alongside you. But there's going to be a change. And the last clause in this, he says, and he shall be in you. And so the Holy Spirit wasn't in the 11 yet. He hadn't been sent. He was going to have to fulfill the work on the cross. And after his resurrection, when he was raised and he went to the Father and the Son were involved in sending the Holy Spirit. And let's go to Acts. Well, before I go to Acts, I'm just drop into Luke 24:49. And this is the resurrected Lord said, and behold, I send the promise from my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so here we have a reference of the Holy Spirit, where he says, I send the promise from my Father upon you. Now let's go now from there. Let me go to Acts chapter 1. And, you know, before his final ascension, here we see him, with the 11. And so in Acts chapter 1, we'll pick up in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise from the Father, which says he, you have heard from me. And then in verse 5, for John truly baptized in water, but you shall be baptized. And I'm going to translate the with as by. You shall be baptized. Remember, baptized has the idea of immersed. You shall be immersed or baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And so it was on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came as he was sent by the Father and by the Son. And believers were baptized into the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers. And the Holy Spirit is something that marks us as belonging to Christ. And so let me just illustrate that. Let's go to Romans 8:9. And so I'm going to just wrap into Romans 8:9, and Paul says, but you are not in the flesh. And I believe what he's saying here is you're not in the sphere of authority of the flesh if you're a Christian. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate authority. But rather in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit from God dwells in you. It says, now if anyone have not the Spirit from Christ, he is none of his. And so the Holy Spirit marks us, if you will, as being Christ. God is the one who makes Christians. The world system, Satan, he can attempt to create something that looks like a Christian. But if the Holy Spirit's not there, the individual, that doesn't matter what they profess, if the Holy Spirit's not there, they don't belong to Christ. So now going back to Ephesians then, let's go to back to Ephesians 1. And so I'll just pick up in 1:13, in whom you also hoped when that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also when that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then he goes on in verse 14, and the King James says, which, but the Holy Spirit's a person, so I'm going to say who, talking about the Holy Spirit, is the earnest. He's the deposit. He's the pledge. Who is the earnest of our inheritance until the complete redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now we're going to look at just two more verses, and if I go on much farther, I won't be able to consider this a devotional. But we want to pick up just a couple other places where we have this verb that describes the believers that are sealed. And so in Ephesians 4:30, and we were in these verses previously when we did a message looking at apolytrosis, translated redemption. Intensified, and that's where it has the idea of complete redemption. And so here Paul says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Just stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And as believers, we can do that. The Holy Spirit's, when he's not able to fulfill his ministry in us that he desires to fill and make up where we lack in Christ-likeness, he can grieve. There can be a sorrowing. And, so he says here, stop grieving the Holy Spirit, of God or from God. And then it says whereby or just whom by you are sealed. And whom by you are sealed. And so the believer, is sealed. The verb here to seal, it's at a point in time you were sealed. Somebody else did the sealing. And so by whom you were sealed, and the idea of you were sealed, you're secured. This really is another way to come at the security of the believer. By whom you were sealed, and here you see what you were sealed for. And so you were sealed unto or for the day of complete redemption. And so remember, complete redemption is something we possess in Christ. Do you recall what complete redemption means? It's looking at a complete releasing as a result of a ransom being paid. And so what we're talking about is we possess complete redemption. So a full price, a full ransom price has been paid for a complete releasing. And so it's been paid. And so there's a full realization of that. There's a full realization of that is that's secured. in our future tense. And we've been sealed unto this. And so all of us that are in Christ, we're sealed unto the day of complete redemption. We are going to arrive at the full realization of what the full payment entails, what that complete releasing from the full payment entails. And so we're sealed. Sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of complete redemption. Let's go to the other place where we have this word that we were sealed in Christ. In this, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. Okay, let me pick up in verse 21. So here Paul says, "Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." And then we see here in verse 22, he says, "Who also sealed us." And it's an aorist participle, and just "who also having sealed us." Looking at something that happened in a point action, and it's a middle voice here, just talking about God who, having sealed us, kind of for himself, having sealed us and given us, and just having gave us, aorist active participle, the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And so, having given us in this word of earnest, the deposit, the pledge of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, looking at the inner man. And so the inner man looks at the mind, the emotions, the will, the heart. And so we've been given, this earnest, this down deposit, this pledge. And, God has also sealed us. And so we're sealed in Christ, and the Holy Spirit, is a mark of ownership, of authority. And so the Holy Spirit, he's the seal or the signet by which marks one's authority or ownership is made. And so we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now this ties into eternal security of the believer. Last week we were talking about the believer as love, as a loved one. And the verses I was going to end last week in Romans 8, they kind of fit in with this idea of being sealed also. And so let me just go ahead and end there again, and let's go to Romans 8. And so you see the work of God in Romans 8:30, he says, "Moreover, whom he did mark off the boundaries beforehand, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? Since thee God is for us, who can be against us?" Now let me just move on down to verse 34. "Who is he that condemneth? Christ is the one that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession on behalf of us. Who shall separate us from the love from Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And the obvious answer is no. No. There's nothing that can separate you from the love from Christ. Let me just skip on down to verse 39, and he basically says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love from God. And then the last clause, he says, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, some of these things, when we talk about these things related to our position in Christ, and our being in Christ is a work of God, and we can see our position in Christ is secure. And so, as we relate to these things, looking at our position in Christ, and we can see, in Colossians 3:2, we're to keep setting our frame of mind on these things above, since we're co-raised with Christ. This isn't just positive thinking. This is thinking and aligning our thoughts with God's thoughts and God's statements about who we are in Christ. That's based upon the work that was accomplished on our behalf by the Lord himself. And so, you can see that, we all are going to arrive at being completely aligned with what God says and how God views things. In present tense salvation, the more we see things the way God sees things, the more we're in line with God says and how he sees things. But while we're here on earth in these bodies, we're never going to be 100% completely in line, because we don't arrive at future tense salvation while we're in these bodies. We're going to have to be changed, but God is going to get us there. But here and now, God gives us everything we need, and we do have the Holy Spirit to signify that we are Christ. And as we are rightly related to the persons of the Godhead, we can share in common, not just with the Holy Spirit and the Son, but also with the Father. And so we can be learning and growing and become more and more in line with who we are in Christ. So anyway, again, we can add this to our list. We're sealed. We have been sealed. We're sealed in Christ, and let's say with the Holy Spirit of promise. Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the encouragement that comes through it. And we're thankful for the encouragement that comes being just to be with one another and sharing. And we pray that you continue just to guide and direct in our lives. May we be blessed as we experience those things that you have for us. Christ's name. Amen.